March 15, 1904. Prudence and Forethought, Ellen G. White. While Nehemiah implored the help of God, he did not fold his own hands, feeling that he had no more care or responsibility in the bringing about of his purpose to restore Jerusalem. With admirable prudence and forethought, he proceeded to make all the arrangements necessary to ensure the success of the enterprise. Every movement was marked with great caution. He did not reveal his purpose even to his own countrymen, for while they would rejoice in his success, he feared that, by some indiscretion, they might hinder his work. Some would be liable to manifest exultation that would arouse the jealousy of their enemies and perhaps cause the defeat of the undertaking. As his request to the king had been so favorably received, he was encouraged to ask for such assistance as was needed for the carrying out of his plans. To give dignity and authority to his mission, as well as to provide for protection on the journey, he secured a military escort. He obtained royal letters to the governors of the provinces beyond the Euphrates, the territory through which he must pass on his way to Judea, and he obtained also a letter to the keeper of the king's forest in the mountains of Lebanon, directing him to furnish such timber as would be needed for the wall of Jerusalem and the buildings that Nehemiah proposed to erect. In order that there might be no occasion for complaint that he had exceeded his commission, Nehemiah was careful to have the authority and privileges accorded him clearly defined. The example of this holy man should be a lesson to all the people of God, that they are not only to pray in faith, but to work with diligence and fidelity. How many difficulties we encounter, how often we hinder the working of providence in our behalf, because prudence, forethought, and painstaking are regarded as having little to do with religion. This is a grave mistake. It is our duty to cultivate and to exercise every power that will render us more efficient workers for God. Careful consideration and well-matured plans are as essential to the success of sacred enterprises today as in the time of Nehemiah. If all who are engaged in the Lord's work would realize how much depends upon their fidelity and wise forethought, far greater prosperity would attend their efforts. Through diffidence and backwardness, we often fail of securing that which is attainable as a right from the powers that be. God will work for us when we are ready to do what we can and should do on our part. Men of prayer should be men of action. Those who are ready and willing will find ways and means of working. Nehemiah did not depend upon uncertainties. The means which he lacked, he solicited from those who were able to bestow. The Lord still moves upon the hearts of kings and rulers in behalf of his people. Those who are laboring for him are to avail themselves of the help that he prompts men to give for the advancement of his cause. The agents through whom these gifts come may open ways by which the light of truth shall be given to many benighted lands. These men may have no sympathy with God's work, no faith in Christ, no acquaintance with his word, but their gifts are not on this account to be refused. The Lord has placed his goods in the hands of unbelievers as well as believers. All may return to him his own for the doing of the work that must be done for a fallen world. As long as we are in this world, as long as the Spirit of God strives with the children of men, so long are we to receive favors as well as to impart them. We are to give to the world the light of truth as revealed in the Scriptures, and we are to receive from the world that which God moves upon them to give in behalf of his cause. The Lord's work might receive far greater favors than it is now receiving if we would approach men in wisdom, acquainting them with the work, and giving them an opportunity of doing that which it is our privilege to induce them to do for its advancement. If we, as God's servants, would take a wise and prudent course, his good hand would prosper us in our efforts. Some may question the propriety of receiving gifts from unbelievers. Let such ask themselves, who is the real owner of our world? To whom belong its houses and lands, and its treasures of gold and silver. God has an abundance in our world, and He has placed His goods in the hands of all, both the obedient and the disobedient. He is ready to move upon the hearts of worldly men, even idolaters, to give of their abundance for the support of His work. And He will do this as soon as His people learn to approach these men wisely and to call their attention to that which it is their privilege to do. If the needs of the Lord's work were set forth in a proper light before those who have means and influence, these men might do much to advance the cause of present truth. God's people have lost many privileges of which they could have taken advantage had they not chosen to stand independent of the world. In the providence of God, we are daily brought into connection with the unconverted. By His own right hand, God is preparing the way before us in order that His work may progress rapidly. As co-laborers with Him, we have a sacred, solemn work to do. We are to have travail of soul for those who are in high places. We are to extend to them the gracious invitation to come to the marriage feast. Although now almost wholly in the possession of wicked men, all the world, with its riches and treasures, belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Oh, that Christians might realize more and still more fully that it is their privilege and their duty, while cherishing right principles, to take advantage of every heaven-sent opportunity for advancing God's kingdom in this world. Mrs. E. G. White.